be to God. It's amazing how some scriptures just kind of follow you around all week. And had you been at Kaleidoscope with the youth and I this weekend, you would have known that that was one of the messages they too had to look at on a Sunday morning, the rich young ruler. There are a couple ways that we could read this passage in Mark. We could read it with the focus on ourselves, on the I. If we could see all of us as the rich young ruler. And as we come up to Jesus, we know that he is someone special, just like the man, young man did, and we would call him good. But Jesus reminds him right from the start, from the very start, that this is not about Jesus, and it's not about the young man, but it's about God, that only God is good. And then Jesus speaks to us and says, you know the commandments, and we're all sitting here nodding, going, yeah, I know the commandments, and yes, I follow those commandments, and so how can I get eternal life if I do all these things and I know all these things? Something is still missing, as we've already heard. And so Jesus tells us, as he tells him, Jesus looks into all of our eyes as he looked into those young man's eyes, and we see the love of God for us pouring out into us so that we know the next words are going to touch us in a way that isn't critical or condemning, but in a way that says, I have this word for you. And then he shares it. He says, you lack one thing. And for me, my chest would already be falling. I knew it. I wasn't good enough. And then he says, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. This is what we need to do. Okay, I thought, only one thing. I've got to sell my money. I've got to give my treasure to the poor. I'm up to two. And he says, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, there's a then. There's more than one. There's more than two. Come and follow me. Three things I have to do. He said, only one thing. Yeah, I would be shocked too. How can I do all of that? How can I find myself without everything that I own? How can I give up my home? How can I give up my phone? How can I give up my car? How can I give up that roast I just bought? I've been saving for retirement and the government's shutting down. How can I give up that money? But he says, sell everything, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor. So we leave grieving, because we know we have many possessions. We don't know what happens after that. We don't know what the young man does in the midst of his grief. We know that the Lord looked at him with love, and he left grieving. The process of moving to Christ is that process of being looked into our hearts with love, and that we have to look there too. And when we see what Christ sees with Christ's eyes, there are things we're going to grieve and give up. We could look at that passage that way and be that young man, or as the church, we could be looking at that passage and be that young man. Or we could look at it a different way. Before we turn and look at it the second way, I want to tell you about one of my favorite childhood movies. How many of you have seen The Little Princess with Shirley Temple? I love the young hands that are going up too. The Little Princess was about this little girl with so much wealth, and she goes into this boarding school because her father's going off to war, and she is treated like the princess. She gets pony rides, she gets gifts and parties, and then he ends up missing and they think he's dead. And she's destitute because he was her only support. And suddenly this girl with everything has nothing. And she's a servant and treated like a servant where she was once treated like a princess. But you watch her learn about those who are poor. You watch her make a friendship with a poor servant girl beside her. And because she had that love of the Father within her, she could be strong where the little servant girl with her could not. So we watch her move from that wealth of things to that wealth of love. The love that was with her even when she was rich to when she was poor because of her relationship with her Father. This is what Jesus is talking about, the one thing. When he tells that young man and when he tells us, you lack one thing, go and sell what you own and give the money, all of the money to the poor. Jesus is talking about our hearts here, about our relationship with God. Because remember, only God is good. These are the things we do for one another in those commandments, not steal, not commit adultery, not kill. But we do them out of our relationship with God the Father. When we turn that parable, when we turn that story around to be the story of the others, about our relationship with the world, it becomes a different story. The one thing the young man lacked was an understanding of those around him. He was so connected to himself that he did not see the needs of the others. And Jesus is asking him, when you can do that, when you can focus on your love for God and your love for others, come and follow me, because then you are walking on the path that I am calling you to walk on. Jesus is asking us not so much to think about what our relationship with him can do for us, but what our relationship with him can do for the world. And I want to tell you what I've witnessed of late. I've witnessed here at Plank Chapel a community that steps forth and helps those in need, whether they have a loved one dying, a loved one sick, or someone who needs work on their home. You are there. When you have youth that want to go and learn about Christ and the world and their relationship to both, you send them. You find the means to send them. Then you give your gifts that you can to the school, whether it's your time or your treasure, to Zeb Vance, to Southern Vance High School. Or you work with the Vance County Animal Shelter. Because animals are voices that cannot be heard because they can't speak English. You make collections for Axe and Lifeline. You give to special offerings. You seek out one another when you are sick. You send cards to one another. You visit one another. You notice people in the community in need and you speak up. And someone here answers that need. The rich young ruler lacked one thing. He lacked compassion for those in his community and in his world. Christ is calling us to be in love with him and in love with the world, that we take up that one thing that we are asked to do, to love one another. You have some opportunities to do that here as a body. And you have some forms out there to fill out that says, this is what I want to do, or this is where I think there is need, or this is where I think we need to go. Fill them out. Give them to me. Give them to somebody. But mostly give that commitment to the Lord. Because the world is in need, and we know that. Make that response. And if you are responding in ways that say, I want to be part of this community, you can come forward and make that claim anytime. We're just going to do the service of reception at Pentecost. Think about the Pentecost experience and how all who were in need were helped. That's what Jesus was talking about to that young man. That is the one thing he is asking us to do, to care for the world that he loves, because he loves each and every one of us. And he sees the potential and the wonder of who we are. So in this Lenten time, as we think about the rich young ruler and his puzzlement, and the ones who are loving him into change, allow Christ to come into your hearts and into your lives and change you as well. Because when we are changed, the world is changed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a hymn of commitment.